Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Another day of state budget deliberations, another day without a deal. Now the leader of the state Senate says he intends to force a vote on a controversial $14 billion tax increase. The question is whether enough Republicans will vote yes. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Most of the conflict among legislators over the $42 billion deficit plan has been behind closed doors. On Monday night, the Senate aired those grievances in public. Democrats pointed to an announcement made Monday that 276 infrastructure projects, all in progress, will begin the process of shutting down today because the state is running out of money. State Senator Alan Lowenthal of Long Beach said Republicans should shoulder much of the blame.
We are talking about almost 100,000 Californians that we know who they are and where they are losing their jobs. The people are going to say, where were you?
But Republicans, like State Senator George Runner of Lancaster, accused Democrats of using the crisis to their advantage while still refusing meaningful spending cuts.
You won't even consider that. Instead, you want this emergency. You want to get it to the point to where we all of a sudden have a problem.
The frustration came after a third long day of Governor Schwarzenegger and Democratic legislative leaders trying to convince one Republican senator to be the deciding vote. The main target, State Senator Abel Maldonado of the Central Coast, told reporters any package he might consider first needs to include substantive government reform. His list includes a ballot measure to create an open primary and another to strip legislators of their paychecks if they fail to pass a budget on time. Whether those are really his deal breakers and whether Democratic leaders are willing to lobby other legislators to sign on remains very much undecided. But it may now be the only question that matters in the quest to ratify billions of dollars in tax increases, spending cuts, and borrowing. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
The state Senate convenes at 10 today, and if the tax hike package doesn't pass, the Sacramento Bee reports Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg intends to force the upper house into lockdown mode. Steinberg's quoted saying he will not allow anyone to go home, to resume their life, to have any kind of resumption of normal business. Bring a toothbrush. The American pika has been called California's polar bear, though it's closer to a hamster in size. Last week, the federal government agreed to look into listing the pika under the Endangered Species Act. The pika would be the first animal in California, and the lower 48 for that matter, to be listed as a direct result of climate change, if it happens. Craig Miller reports as part of our ongoing series, Climate Watch.
High in the Sierra Nevada, where trees have mostly given way to the scramble of loose rock that geologists call talus, is where you'll see them and hear them, like this slope just below Yosemite's Dana Glacier. The American pika is an impossibly cute relative of rabbits, though it looks more like a cartoon rodent. And high up in the mountains is the only place you'll find them. They're well insulated for the harsh alpine environment, so well that they can get heat stroke and die if the temperature nudges 80 degrees. And some scientists say that with global warming, that could be their undoing.
Global warming poses a very big threat to the pika because as temperatures continue to rise, then those lethal temperatures will continue to creep up the mountainside and push pikas further and further up the mountain slopes until there's nowhere left for them to go.
Shea Wolf is a biologist at the Center for Biological Diversity in San Francisco, which first asked the government to protect pika back in 2007. The center had to sue to get a response out of the federal government, and when it petitioned the state for a listing under the California Endangered Species Act, it was turned down. The state's Fish and Game Commission said it needed more data. Again, the center sued. That case is still in court.
We see a crisis here.
Greg Laurie is an attorney for Earth Justice who's been representing the center. He says the state's response was irresponsible.
Unfortunately, what they decided was that the information showing that pika have declined was not specific enough to California and that they did not have the authority really to regulate greenhouse gas emissions or to deal with global warming in any event.
But some scientists think the state made the right call, at least for now.
Well, these are flat skins and skulls.
At UC Berkeley's Museum of Vertebrate Zoology, Jim Patton has been studying California mammals for 40 years. He's not convinced that California's pika are in trouble. For one thing, he says, the real change in mountain temperatures has been the overnight lows, not the daytime highs, which would be more of a threat.
So the question is whether or not these changes in minimum temperature are affecting the pikas, and we don't know that.
And he says it's natural for pika colonies to come and go. So even if they're moving uphill, it's hard to say why.
But what we needed was a lot more baseline data. We needed people to go out and survey low-elevation sites throughout the Sierras, and including, you know, additional sites in Yosemite, and really find out.
One person who's been out doing some of that survey work is Connie Millar, a specialist in alpine climate change with the U.S. Forest Service.
Certainly in the Sierra Nevada, I don't see any evidence of... I find pika everywhere.
Millar has surveyed more than 300 sites in or near California.
It's not like they've run out of, you know, moving up off the top of the slopes. They actually have a mass of their population is not near the summits of the Sierra.
So they've been described as marooned. You're not seeing that?
No, I'm not.
But Millar doesn't oppose protecting the pika if it'll lead to exactly that kind of intensified research. Back at the Center for Biological Diversity, Shea Wolf is losing patience. She says that even if California's pika aren't in trouble yet, eventually they will be. Scientists generally agree that the West is warming, and more so at the higher elevations.
With rising temperatures, it's very unlikely that those habitats will stay suitable for pika in the future. If we wait until we lose pika populations in the high elevations of the Sierra Nevada, it will be too late to save them.
And then Wolf fears the only place to find the furry little critters in California may be in a museum specimen case. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
See more of the surprisingly adorable pika in its high elevation habitat at californiareport.org/climatewatch. That's the California Report for Tuesday, February 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. And Chevron, an energy company founded in California more than 125 years ago, helping fuel California's way of life. More information is available at chevron.com.